You're listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
It is Thursday.
It is Thursday.
And what coffee do you have in the cup today?
Costa Rica.
Costa Rica.
Yeah.
That sounds tropical.
Sure.
You know who has been
delicious.
In a tropical location recently?
Yes.
Not me.
Not me either. I've been in central Missouri, but
that's
not
tropical.
Any further south.
Yeah, this week it's starting to feel tropical around here.
Yeah, it was like it's humid outside.
Yeah.
The summer is coming.
It is. And what do you like to do during the summer besides go to tropical destinations?
Ride my bike.
Ride your bike. Well, you have things, you carried things into the studio this morning. What did you carry into the studio? You carried books.
I did carry books. That's true.
We have a good book to take a look at today.
We do. It's a great book.
We have two great books.
It has really fun pictures in it too, actually.
Two great books.
Wait, drawings.
Hang on. Which one are you talking about?
Jonathan's.
First one? Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the real pictures in it.
It's got fun little drawings in it. It's great.
I only have the preview copy. I don't have the real.
I had a preview copy.
I don't have my hands on
mine
the real
had
one
pictures
yet.
In it. Oh, I don't know which one you got.
Mine had words all smashed together.
No, oh, man.
Thanks to our friends at Concordia University, Wisconsin for supporting the Coffee Hour. Find out more about them at cuw.edu. Joining us by phone not by phone.
He's not on the
He's
phone.
In his studio.
Yes.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk, host of Sharper Iron, and pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Rockford, Illinois. Did I get that right? St. Paul, right?
It's St. Paul, and I'm technically the senior pastor, but you don't have to say that.
Well,
I just feel powerful when you say that, so it's kind of nice.
And it's in Rockford, Illinois, right?
It's in Rockford, California. No, you're right. It's in
Is
Rockford,
there a Rockford,
Illinois.
California?
And no, I have no idea. And I got to share. You asked about coffee. I hope you're going to ask me about
coffee. Yeah, what coffee are you drinking this morning?
I'm drinking a half-calf bulletproof with olive oil, extra virgin instead of coconut oil, and some MCT oil, which is the high end of coconut oil, thrown in, blended with a little bit of a chocolate powder from Laird Hamilton Superfood. It is it's fantastic.
So you're going for the unsaturated oils now.
Some of these are saturated too. I get a little grass-fed butter in there.
This sounds complex.
I don't think I can roll my eyes large enough right now.
The coconut oil is saturated, but you're right. The extra virgin. I used to do just the coconut, and then I was listening recently, and man, extra virgin olive oil is so good for you.
It is really good for you.
So, yeah. And they're like, you can eat as much of this as you want. Like, use it liberally. Like, what do they tell you that? Nothing that tastes good did they say use it liberally. But they said that about that. So
I'm really curious about olive oil. I might have to try that now.
Have you
blend it? You gotta blend it. It'll create a real nice froth. It's almost like a latte kind of feel to it. So make sure you got a little blender, Ninja or something like that.
Have you been to one of those places where you can taste different olive oils?
I need to go.
Not. I've seen them.
You go in and they have like all these vats of olive oil with the little valves on them, and you just like go around with a little cup and taste them.
I think there's one locally here. I feel like there is.
Yeah, there are a couple actually.
I need to go to one.
Check it out.
I love olive oil.
But it's not about olive oil. Sarah's chugging olive oil in her cubicle.
I kind of am. I have three or four different kinds at home right now. So there you go.
You have a new book. I'm excited about this. A new book, Echo, Unbroken Truth Worth Repeating Again. This has been in the making for some time now. I know we've been talking about it in the studio and excited to see it because what the last book was Broken, right?
Yeah, so you had Broken, Seven Christian Rules, and Christians in scare quotes there, air quotes there. Seven Christian Rules Every Christian Ought to Break as Often as Possible. That was my debut book that I wrote on accident, in a sense. I was asked by Scott Kinneman at CPH if I wanted to write a book about grace. And instead, well, I did write a book about grace, but you know, it ended up being a book about Adolf Kaeberle's mysticism, rationalism, and moralism brought forward from the 1800s to the present. Seemed to do very well. And then because it was a decent work by a young man, I had the fear of having to outdo myself for the next 6 years. And sat on my hands in fear. And then about 2 years ago, the book I'd been trying to write all that time, I realized it was two books in one, and no wonder I couldn't write it. And so I pulled one out, and I just set my nose to the grindstone on it. And it took about 2 years to get this thing done. Echo, Unbroken Truth Worth Repeating. Really a follow-up. One of the complaints I got from Broken was, but what are we supposed to believe? And I like to think that Broken actually told you that too. But, you know, if that was your question that you had, this is like, all right, here, this is what we do say. This is not broken was how to smell the lie, and this is what is the truth in a lot of ways. So
yeah, It is.
With pictures.
I'm trying to smell lies.
We need the smell-o-vision, except that's not even radio either. This is what you're missing, Jonathan. Echo. Where does that come from? What does that title actually mean? Being the good Lutheran here. What does it mean?
Give away the entire book.
Oh well, I mean, you don't have to answer it.
The whole book's a trick. It's not a lie. It's just hiding the truth from you so that you don't get bored before I tell it to you. So, okay, if I named this book Catechism, I don't think you'd really want to buy it. Forgive me for thinking that. Maybe this is blasphemous in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We do buy catechisms, and then we force 12-year-olds to read them and take tests on them, and then no one looks at them again. And I think that's a problem. I think what's in the catechism is far more interesting than we tend to make it. And even the word catechism, which we then kind of shudder for all of our memories of hot classrooms on Wednesday afternoons when we wanted to be out doing things with our friends, that word itself is a better word than you think it is. It is the word echo. In the Greek, it's catechoism, right? It means to repeat. And even repeat in English doesn't sound nearly as awesome as echo. Amazon.com thinks echo's a good word. They stole it from me. I had the title for this book, by the way, before this stupid echo came out. I was like, and you can't search for my book anymore without putting my name on it. Anyway, so echo, to repeat. And the book is trying to do just that. Look at the teachings, the content of the catechism, which doesn't mean Dr. Luther's catechism. He wrote his catechism on the catechism, the real ancient one, the Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, to look at all of those elements with the same kind of sideways glance that the word echo looks at the word catechism, trying to say, well, what is this, as Luther does ask it, what does this mean, without using the jargon to teach it, trying to fill up what that jargon is with real American words, American meaning, and then opening that truth so it becomes not just something that you memorize and forget about, but something that is a foundation, an assumption, a cornerstone of your worldview.
I think along those same lines, the language that you use is really fun.
Well, yes, that's the idea. What did you like? Have you read it?
I've skimmed.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've gotten through a few chapters.
Because I want to actually, like, because I only have a preview copy on my phone, I want to actually, like, buy the book and actually, like, read it for real, which is why I know about the pictures, because I was looking at all the pictures. But the language is, it's really relatable and it makes you want to, like, read it more and kind of digs in a little bit, too.
Yes. I do not believe in this. I think this is a lie or a bad theory, which is that some of the language that we use that's English words, but they're big or they're old, and they're Bible words actually too, that we should get rid of them and use new language. It leads toward make up new stuff, right? We need new ideas in a sense. I don't buy into that at all. But I do believe that it's important to translate. That's part of what teaching or learning is. You know, when your little kid asks you, what's this mean? All you can do is give them another word, right? And that word has to be what it really means. I don't know if I have an example. Somebody asked me the other day, but let's just imagine if my kid says, what's obtuse mean, Father? I would say it means not straight or weird, right? I give them another word. English is great for this too. We have so much vocabulary because we steal it from every language we run into and we add it to our language. We have so many ways to say things. And so the idea is not to get rid of things like the petitions of the Lord's Prayer, but the idea is to say, well, why do we call them petitions? What's the purpose of these seven things that the Lord's Prayer is having us ask God for, and what is their result, right? And trying to then give people an exciting, let me say this differently. I want to make your imagination wake up and see what's really there. You know, we've got the most profound and exciting religion in the world, and somehow, again, we've managed to convince a generation of 12 to 18-year-olds it's boring and that we need, like, fancy music to make it exciting or something. I'm not against fancy music per se, but really, this stuff's solid. So all those words, Sarah, I mean, those are truths. It's just it's just not the way we normally talk about it.
Right.
And I don't think it changes it, though. I don't think it changes it.
No.
That's key.
But I like it. It's cool. My millennial brain is happy.
So what's your favorite one? What's your favorite one that you've like run into that you that
I
like
can't give that away.
Oh, okay.
I have two questions and we have like 2 minutes
left.
Oh
boy.
Let's see if we can pack it in.
Fist gone for 10 minutes. Good luck.
Right.
How is Echo different from other Christian books, particularly like Christian books today? We're not, I'll get to like the older stuff in a minute, hopefully.
Well, we're just going to have to, I'm going to answer this question as if CPH isn't part of this question, because I don't want to get in trouble for making it sound as if this is what they do, right? But if you go to your local Christian bookstore, what you find is a lot of, can I say this on the air, nincompoopery. You find a lot of made-up stuff. You can find a lot of cheering rah-rah, and it's good, and try this, and here's some business, and yada yada. What you don't find a lot of is the faith once for all delivered to the saints, which is the power of God for salvation to all who believe, which though heaven and earth pass away, will not pass away. And Echo's got that, and a lot, sadly, a lot of Christian books simply do not. In fact, in the top, golly, I've been watching, it's in the top 100 Protestant Christian books on Amazon right now, and the ones around it are things like How to Get Healing in 5 Minutes.
Ooh,
and
fun.
God is Not a Christian. I mean, that's what's around it, right? So how is it different? Well, it's a book about Christianity. That's how it's different.
I had a professor in college who had the 95% theory. Have you heard this? 95% of the books from a variety of publishers, Christian publishers, were about what we call theology of glory. 5% were about theology of the cross.
Yeah, that's
good. Compare. Okay, you got like 30 seconds for one, and you've probably got
sprint.
30 minutes really of worth to talk. Compare Echo to Luther's Large Catechism.
Luther's Large Catechism is Luther riffing on the Ten Commandments, the Creed, and the Lord's Prayer for the context of his day. I highly recommend you read it. It's still very readable. This is me doing the exact same thing for our context today. In fact, it was Luther's Large Catechism that inspired me to believe that I can't know this stuff enough. I can't teach this stuff enough. We can't go back to it enough. We need to keep repeating it, keep echoing it. Not, I don't mean just, you know, parroting, but I mean taking it in, believing it, and reconfessing it today. And so I'm just trying to do what he's doing. His has obviously lasted much longer, but God willing, I contribute to that conversation, that confession.
Check it out, Echo from Pastor Jonathan Fisk. You can find it at cph.org. Pastor Fisk, thanks so much for being our guest on the Coffee Hour today. Oh, man, I'm excited to get my hands on the real copy now. I've just had the digital copy right now. Thanks so much.
It's a nice-looking book. It's a nice-looking book.
Yeah, good cover. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you.
We have another book to look at, another author to talk to in just a little bit.
One of my favorite people.
Yeah. We have some great authors that we get to talk to here
in
the Coffee
Hour.
We have like the best job in the world.
I know. It's true.
You're listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.